The biggest part of Ultimate Partnering is networking. We've met so many great people through there. A lot of people tell you different things that they do and different things that they've seen, landmines to avoid. And as soon as we were done with Ultimate Partnering, we were on fire.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab. We're your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab, where we dissect deals. And today I've got a father and daughter team, and they did a 100-acre mobile home park. So this is going to be a little bit of a different deal dissection than usual, but I'm going to have them tell everybody who they are and where they're from. So let's go ladies first. Michelle, go right ahead.
Hello, my name is Michelle. I'm originally from Chicago and just moved to Georgia to be near my parents and do multifamily properties. And that's what we've been doing.
All right, sweet. And Clarence?
Yes, my name is Clarence Boyd. I'm originally from Chicago too. I resided in Florida for 25 years. Now I'm in Georgia. And I'm glad I came here because I went to one of the day's seminar there. And my daughter and I were trying to explain to her about the seminar that I retired when I was 38. And she can do the same thing. She gets into this business. It's great. It's a great business. And I've got a lot to explain about it that I thought I knew and I didn't know. And I got it from my coach.
So you were investing in real estate and retired at 38 by investing in real estate?
Yes, but I probably could have retired earlier if I had a mentor.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So from 38 to now, have you just been living off the cash flow of your properties?
Yes, and I'm 73.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's a good goal for a lot of people to strive for. So you decided, you went to one of our events in Atlanta and then said to your daughter, hey, listen, if you want to do what I did, then come and check these guys out and learn, and they'll explain how to get it done. Was that it?
Yes, that was it. I had a hard time convincing her that she didn't think it would work for her as it did for me. She got in there and she seen and heard what they had to offer. She was very eager to go. Matter of fact, she's more eager than me because, you know, I'm a little bit older. And she pushed me along the line to get different things and mainly to join the coaching team, which I've got to say that it's an excellent coaching team. And without that coaching team, we wouldn't have what we have today, this RV park.
Yeah, they're all great. Our mentorship program is awesome. Here's an interesting thing, because a lot of people think the exact same thing that Michelle thinks. They either see me on a stage and we'll talk about the 9,000 units I've done, but people don't realize that I started broke. Even though I tell my story, I started broke. I started with nothing and I just started working my way up. They'll see some of the successful trainers that we have teaching and they think, well, you know, they can do it, but I can't do it. So your daughter sees you and is like, all right, you did it, but I can't do it. It's very common. It's a very common limiting belief. So for people that are listening, if you have that same limiting belief, Michelle, what was it that all of a sudden opened up your eyes and you're like, wow, this can work? Was there any one thing or?
Well, I was his plus one. So I went with him and listened to everything. And I just did the numbers crunching. And I was most concerned with not being as handy as he is. I'm just simply, I can't lift what he can lift. I'm not as handy as he is. And after the event, I realized not everybody is handy and that there's ways around that.
Yeah, it's called writing checks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I've been doing it by leveraging relationship. Oh. So that's how I've been doing it with this deal.
Excellent. All right. So how did this 100-unit mobile home park come about?
My father found it.
Okay. Yeah. So did a broker bring it or was it in the paper or where was it?
A broker brought it to him.
All right. So it's a 100-acre mobile home park. How many actual mobile homes on it?
There's four mobile homes, four cabins. There's a 10,000 square foot restaurant bar, a 4-H club that's about 1,200 feet, a bathhouse that's about 1,800 feet, and an old skate rink, which we might tear down, which is about 4,000 square feet. We did what our mentors were telling us to do, what your course tells us to do. You got to get out there and meet these people. That's the main thing, is face-to-face, meeting people, getting them on the line, and talking to him, let him know that you're serious about doing different things. And that's why he brought us the deal. And if they see where the deal was, he told me that this is a great deal. It's a little priced high, but you need to go in and make an offer.
So I'm getting the deal for the first time. And now I'm thinking, okay, so there's only four mobile home parks and four cabins on there. Okay, it's 100 acres. What's the extra strategy on this deal?
I forgot to say, and I'm sorry about that. I forgot to say, it's got 72 spots for RVs. And our greatest thing was, is the 75 spots or 72 spots, once we get those up and running, if we run it half full, we'll be making $500,000 a year. Half full. And I take half full because I don't want to extend myself or we're going to make all this money because we got all the other income coming in. And what made this deal really great is my payment is $4,200 a month. I get in $4,900 a month. So I didn't go in with a surplus where I got money coming in. It's only $700, but it's still rather than paid $700.
Okay. So did you base the value on this deal on current cash flow or on future cash flow?
Oh, on future, because the current was no good. I seen where the value adds were and where I can make my money at.
You making money on the RV pads?
One person was paying $100 a month for the rent for just the land, only the land. And they've been there like 20 years and they got like a half acre, which is $100 is no money at all.
What were they doing with that half acre?
Oh, they got a mobile home on there. It's theirs. Oh, it's not mine, but they're renting the land with their mobile home. And we supplied them with water and a well. The well in the septic.
Is the RV seasonal?
No, they live there all year.
What prevents them from just driving away?
Well, that's going to be an RV park. So we'll have activities for them. We'll have things for them to do. We're right on a river, or actually a lake that goes to a river that leads to the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a great property for that.
All right, let's go into the purchase price and how you get the purchase price down to where you bought it at. Let's start there. What was the original asking price?
They started at 2.5.
2.5 million.
Right. Realtor told me it's too high. And then our negotiation, they come down to 1.95. And the realtor said, it's still a little bit high. And my daughter and I was talking and I said, well, let's go in at 1.5. She said, no way. And I said, yeah, I don't want to lose the deal. There's a lot of money here. I said, 1.5, we'll be able to get it. And she said, no way, we're not going to do that. We went back and forth for about 3 days on that. And she said, I'm going in at 1.111.
11.11.
11.11. So she went in at it and they accepted it. And I was shocked. I was totally shocked. And the realtor said, that's awful low. You got a good deal.
What did you base that number on, Michelle?
I do a lot of motivational things, and 11.11 is a very powerful number for new things and for new starts. So I wanted to stay with that theme, and I told him I could get it for 11.11, and he didn't think I could. So I wrote the LOI. I wrote it in the way that they wrote their listing. It's a 100-year-old family campground, and they put all this into it. And so I wrote, we're a family that wants to buy this 100-year-old campground and put a lot into it and make it a family-friendly place and breathe life into it. And that's what 11.11 stands for. And they accepted it right away.
Well, okay. But that's not what you actually bought it for.
Correct.
So what happened next?
We did our due diligence and there were a lot of inconsistencies with the listing and the actual property, the listing of it and then the actual property. There were so many inconsistencies that I strangled my father into letting me offer them $811,000.
What were some of those inconsistencies? Like when you went back for the reduction of the offer, what did you base it on?
First and foremost, everybody says they're 100% full and they weren't 100% full.
Because there's only like 8 occupants, isn't there?
Exactly.
So how many were there?
6, right? Because 2 of the cabins are down.
Yeah, so 2 were 6. Down and then another one it needs rehab. And then we had in the first offer, we had the property that was in the middle that was the grandfather's house. We had that in with that 11,000, 1,011,000.
With the rent rolls.
Correct.
That was inconsistency. She said she had 72 RV spots.
Yep.
And when we found out, she only had like maybe 4 RV spots and 1 septic system, which she said she had all septic systems. It was just deteriorating, but we kept going down and down. And I said, my daughter said, let's offer 811. I said, okay. And then we negotiated and told them, and we had people there. We had the professionals there that looked at it and walked the property with us and told us what we had to do and what we could do. And I still seen at the end of the tunnel, tons of money coming our way. They just wanted to dump it because they didn't want to put the time or money into. One lived out of state and one daughter lived on the property in the back.
So it seems like the money's going to come from the RV spots. So she said she had 72, but she only had 4.
Yes.
But now you say you have 72. And how does that work?
We've discussed putting in the septic fields and septic systems, and we're working on that. working on the repairs of the septic, and we've already bought the new electrical boxes that are necessary to host RVers. Her boxes were not able to host RVers. They weren't electrically compatible with new RVs.
Okay, so you're going to have to upgrade the electrical. What else would you need to upgrade for those RVs?
We don't really need to upgrade it, but we're going to as long as we're there. And then there was no bathhouse on the property that was functioning. So we're updating the bathhouse right this minute. And the septic will go in next week, if not next week, the week after. So we've been with the contractors since our first offer was accepted, the $1,111,000. And we've been working with them the whole time.
How much will you be putting in upgrades?
We're looking at about $200,000 to $300,000 for the upgrade. We got a little bit of luck here. The restaurant, we're not going to run it. We're going to lease it out. And we had some people come to us. They came to us and they want to lease the restaurant and the bar out and they want to fix it up. So we don't have to put no money into the restaurant and bar. We're working on that as we speak. They're from the area. They know, like we know, that there's a lot of money there, that they're going to go in and fix it up. We're supposed to talk with them actually today, but it won't be probably till next Tuesday. They're going to go in and fix it up. That means that we don't have to fix it up and move money for there. We use the rest of our money for the bathhouse and the RV parks and get that up and running, get it going. What we made is we got it at 4.5% for 6 years with a balloon payment. I expect to have it paid off in 3 years, get our money. And my daughter, I want to sell at the end of 3 years. That's my exit. My daughter said, if we're going to make $500,000 to $600,000 a year, we might as well keep it. So we'll discuss that at the end of the 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, maybe she'll buy you out.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cash cow. That's a cash cow. Plus, you've got some back-end value. So how much total will you be putting in?
No more than $300,000. That's a little bit high, but no more than that.
So now that's 1.1, and you're saying that the property should sell for 3.5 in 3 years on the cash flow that you're going to be generating?
Right. We're going to generate cash flow probably at 500 or better, but yep. We're going to sell the property at 3.5 or 3.8, somewhere around there. So the next owner, if my daughter and I agree on selling it, the next owner will have an instant cash flow and an instant equity in the property.
How much equity are you going to give?
If we go at 10% right at $500,000, it should sell for close to $5 million.
That's interesting. So you've got 100 acres there. What else are you going to do with it? Anything?
Yes, I got a plan for that. With the 100 acres, we got like a little island there that's probably about 50 feet from where we're at. It's a little island by itself. And we got 60 acres in the back. When I sell it to $3.5 million, I'm only going to sell 40 acres because that's where the RV park is going to be. And I'm going to keep the other acres for future whatever. My daughter and I was thinking about maybe putting a drive-in up there or something like that. But we don't know, but we're going to keep the other 60 acres.
So all of the outbuildings that you mentioned before are all within that 40-acre RV park, like the skating rink. All right, so the 60 acres, does it have access?
Well, 22 acres is the island. You have to take a boat to get there. We're not going to sell that. We're going to keep that.
If you kept the island, you'd have to keep an access to it too, right?
Yeah. Okay. There's a access road. That road that comes through there is a county road. So we'd have access to the county road. They got a boat ramp right there. That we can use that if they let us. But yeah, if not, we can come go. They got a private public boat ramp up the way where we can come around and get the island the other way.
So that leaves you 40 acres you're thinking about developing?
Yes. In the future, we don't know. We don't know what else we can do there. They did say that they need a theater or something like that where they can go to. They don't have nothing there.
What state is this in?
It's in Georgia, Midville, Georgia.
Oh, it's in Georgia as well. Yeah, I guess a feasibility study would be the best thing to do. Find out what the highest and best use for that 40 acres is.
Yes, definitely. We'll be doing that as we're going, as when we get done here. We'll probably be done with our rehab. We figured it'd take us a year for the rehab.
So when the broker presented you this deal, what was it about this deal that you thought, I'll give it a go? Because it's not your typical multifamily deal.
The broker and our coach. We talked to the coach and told him what it was. And he said, sounds like a great deal. Go for it. And with him and the broker and my daughter and myself, it looked like a great deal. I mean, if you can look at it and see the money, and I don't think anybody would doubt that it's not a great deal.
It's unique. Yeah, it's definitely unique. It takes widening your lenses to see the deal. But basically, all commercial deals are, it's all about the cash flow. Does it cash flow properly? And then how do you make it cash flow? What are the improvements that are on the site that create the cash flow? With apartment buildings, it's the building. With this particular asset, it's RV pads. What is it that makes it cash flow? And then what do those cash flow numbers say? So by the way, Jermaine is the person that helps me with the podcast, helps me produce, is actually the coach as well. But we also has our phone number up there, the RV Mentor phone number, because we're having Ultimate Partnering this year. And Ultimate Partnering is in Phoenix. Have you guys been to Ultimate Partnering?
Yes, we were in Ultimate Partnering in Dallas.
But we're going to Phoenix too.
Tell everybody what Ultimate Partnering is all about.
It was awesome. We heard a lot of success stories. And I think that the biggest part of Ultimate Partnering is networking. We've met so many great people through there. A lot of people tell you different things that they do and different things that they've seen, landmines to avoid. And as soon as we were done with Ultimate Partnering, we were on fire. We started underwriting 3 to 5 deals every other day. We were just going at it. We were trying to do 5 deals a day. Sometimes they got intricate. We had to go to a second day and we got partners. They looked at this deal. It wasn't the right deal for them. So they didn't do it with us, but we're still friends with them. We still talk to them. They still check in on us and they're like, how's it going?
All right. So the one thing we did that we missed was the raise. How much did you have to raise for this deal and where'd you get it?
Okay, that's from my investment. I own some property in Florida and I sold it to acquire this property because the property in Florida was at its peak and I had to get rid of it.
Smart.
Yeah. First of all, I was in Florida and I didn't want to take care of it anymore. I had it 25 years. I got a lot of money out of that, but not as much money as I'm going to get from this property here in less time. You know what? I said it before, and I'm saying it again. I want these people to know. I thought I knew a lot about property. I've been in it a long time, but I'm going to tell you, Jermaine, our coach, by far, I didn't know. I thought I knew. With his knowledge and what we got here, I thank him for everything that he did for us. But that's where I got the money from. I sold my property in Florida. I could have got it from investors, but I figured I didn't need it. So I had the property and I sold it. I used that money to buy this.
Move your money to a faster horse, to get on a faster horse. It's an old adage in investing for sure. It's awesome. And thanks for the awesome testimonial for Jermaine and the RE Mentor program.
And John helped us in the beginning. We had Don in the beginning and he was awesome.
Oh yeah,
Don. And Jeannie is, we struggled. Jeannie really helped us. Yes, Don and Jeannie.
Did she talk you off the ledge a couple times?
Yes. I definitely needed her.
I tell people all the time, you know, your first deal is going to be the hardest. You're going to say to yourself, oh my God, this sucks. I don't know if I could do it. And those are the times when you need to call the office because this office is staffed by people. When you call, people pick up the phone. We've been teaching since 2002. They're so accustomed to talking people off the ledge. It's the people that don't call that we worry about because those are the people that just kind of like, they fade away instead of calling and getting the help that they need to move forward. They don't call and then they just kind of like drift away. And that's too bad because there's so much help here, regardless whether it's in property or inside of your head because you need skill sets on both.
And I have to tell you, he wouldn't say it, but my dad has been with you since 2002.
Oh, really?
I got your home study course.
Way back then when it first came out?
Yes, I got your home study course.
Oh, that's awesome. Successful people always keep learning. That's what life is. Life is a learning center. All right. Well, that has been this edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. This is the 100-acre deal that they did. And I want to thank you guys for being here. And our next podcast will come out next week. Yep. Thank you.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.